Today is Developmental Language Disorder Awareness Day, and on the line we have Brenda Mockler. She's an ambassador for Raise Awareness of Developmental Language Disorder. Good morning to you, Brenda, and welcome to the programme.
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I have to say, this is something that is quite new to me as to what it is and how it affects people. You might explain it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly why we're running this campaign, because it's a very common disorder but not known very well. So it's about getting the message out there. So basically, developmental language disorder is a neurodevelopmental condition, similar like autism, ADHD, dyspraxia and all those, kind of in the same umbrella, but yet not as known. And basically, it's where people, children and adults, DLD is a lifelong condition, would have difficulty with using and understanding spoken language, basically. So, for example, from a parent's perspective, my son Robert has DLD. He's 14 now. He would have difficulty, for example, reading between the lines or understanding the unspoken words of a conversation, if you know what I mean. So he might get lost. Or, for example, idioms would completely throw him off. And I often tell this little story where I said one morning, Dad is doing the school run. And Robert looked at me and said, Dad does not run to school, ma'am. He doesn't walk to the end of the garden. He does not run to school.
Right.
So he took that quite literally. You know what I mean? So you have to be kind of careful. And like when they're in, like for, again, from coming from a teenager's perspective, when he's in a group of his peers, he may not be keeping up with the conversation and the chit-chat that's going on, you know. And then in some cases, that can affect them in the classroom because they're not quite understanding exactly what the teacher is saying all the time. They would have difficulty with word finding. So, you know, he might be trying to explain something to me or having a chat, and he'll just lose his train of thought halfway through, and we'll make a decision then. Do you want to gather yourself and we'll go again? Or he might go, ah, it doesn't matter, ma'am, it's all right. And, you know, we carry on. So he's very aware, which is brilliant. And again, us being part of this campaign, we got involved in 2020, has been probably the best thing for Robert and for us as a family. The awareness, the self-awareness for him has been the best, because he understands fully now what's going on with him, what's going on in his head, and we're able to manage it a lot better. So again, from a mammy, from a parent's perspective, to any parents out there that you might be going, oh, that sounds a bit like my son or my daughter, or as a young adult or an adult, that sounds a bit like me. Go and talk to your GP or your local speech and language therapist and have a chat. Because honestly, labels are not a thing anymore. And the more you know about yourself in any capacity, the better for you as you grow up.
And as you say, it is quite common. It affects 1 in 14 people, and it causes difficulties with understanding or using spoken language. And already this morning, I've seen a lot of my friends on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are sharing an infographic that's called Growing with DLD. It's come out today, and it goes through the different age categories. So we might just take a look at it from that aspect. So if people are listening in and they might have children who are quite young, so between 2 and 5, how would it affect them? How could you maybe notice the signs of developmental language disorder in a very young child?
Okay, yeah. So again, coming from my experience, it would be that they're not reaching milestones. And for Robert, he wasn't quite speaking. Like 2 and 3, he had the odd couple of words, and he babbled a lot. So he babbled as opposed to using language and using words. And this is an experience, and in a lot of cases it can be different, but you would notice that they're not reaching milestones, especially when it comes to language and comprehension. If you're asking them to go and get you something, they leave the room and come back in and they can't remember what you've asked them to go and get, you know, that kind of a way. And then Robert made strange quite badly when he was small. He was up until around 3. If you looked in at Robert, he just screamed at you. So I would have to kind of turn the buggy away from people if I met them out and about. Mm-hmm. And it was basically because he couldn't communicate how he was feeling. So Robert has kind of an additional thing of regulating his emotions. So that, you know, there are additional things that can present themselves alongside DLD. So you might look out for other things. Like, so again, when we first brought Robert, I think he was around 2.5 to be assessed. It was a global delay because there were so many different little things, and it presented a little bit like ASD and so on. So as he got a bit older, other things started to improve, but the communication and the language was the thing that continues to drop below where he should be. And with that, then you get your diagnosis of DLD, because that's what the main issue is.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the tips then here on this infographic. So between 3 and 5, get the child's attention before talking, explain the meaning of new words, add words to make a child's sentence complete, and don't talk too long in each turn. Between 6 and 10 then, Brenda, this is kind of the age group where you would expect that children would begin to understand words, to comprehend words, and be able to put full sentences together. And again, if they don't reach that milestone, it might be something to be looked at.
Absolutely, that's it, exactly. And like, again, with my son, he would have used words that were not necessarily wrong, but they would have been in the wrong context, or saying he instead of she. And, you know, again, at that age, Robert still would have had difficulty if I sent him upstairs to get me something. He could be gone for 5 or 10 minutes and he'll come back down and go, "Sorry, ma'am, what did you want again?" You know, and at that age, you can imagine, you could say, "Run up the stairs and get me a tissue or whatever," and they'll go and get it for you. But Robert would get halfway up the stairs and forget what it was you asked him. Or he may not have really fully got it in the first place, but he wanted to do what I asked him. So he'll go, instead of stopping and going, "Sorry, ma'am, what did you say again?" Whereas we've kind of learned those skills now that he's a bit older.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would see that with kids at that age, kind of not making sense maybe in what they're saying. Or like Robert would have got involved in conversations we were having that he wouldn't have been part of, or he mightn't have even been born. And he'll say, "Oh, I remember that, ma'am." And you're kind of going, "You weren't there, son, you know." "Oh, yeah, you know." And he'll go back then, you know. So little things like that were the kind of the triggers again for us when he was younger.
Yeah, and the advice there again from that age group, and then this kind of is for all ages from 11 up to adulthood, is to give people full attention, nod to show understanding, speak loud enough, make writing clear and legible. Because I'd imagine it's quite frustrating, and you know, obviously we can't get into the children or the adults' head to know what they're thinking, but if they feel as though they're not being understood, it could be quite frustrating.
Absolutely, yes. And like I said, like, if you imagine, for example, if sort of an example I use, if you're a bit of a blocked ear or something, and someone's talking to you and they're not looking right at you, you can't hear them properly. So they need to look at you so you can understand what they're saying. Or, you know, if there's a bit of background noise going on. So if you can imagine for people with DLD, it's kind of similar like that. They need to be looking at you so they can really understand what you're saying to them. They can see the words coming out of your mouth. And then if they have any difficulty, you're watching them and you can give them a minute. And, you know, for Robert, like, he might blink a little bit when he's not quite sure about something. So I know, just to give him a second, that's his little trigger. So he's up in his brain trying to find the word to respond to me or whatever it may be. And yeah, and visuals can be great. You know, for example, if a person is saying, I went on a plane, and they just can't find the word plane. You know, they might do the action of a plane, and then they'll get the word "a plane." "Oh, right, yeah, I went on a plane." So little things like that as well can help for them to get their message across, or whatever it is they're trying to say or understand.
And can I ask as well then, Brenda, when the child is speaking, there is that difference between, they're not stuttering or stammering or anything like that.
No.
It's purely to do with the understanding of words.
Yes. Yes, and in some cases, some kids will have a bit of maybe verbal dyspraxia involved in there as well, so it might be more obvious. But for my son, for example, it's hidden. It's a hidden disability. He looks, on face value, he's fine. And yeah, he can speak, and he could speak, like, he started to speak then probably from the age of 4, 5, 6. So his needs were different then from then on. It wasn't necessarily speech and language therapy in the context of speech and language therapy that he needed. It was more, you know, trying to, like, a multidisciplinary kind of approach in terms of psychology, trying to understand his emotions, trying to help him to understand and articulate himself better and things like that.
Could it be confused with dyspraxia or dyslexia, or do they kind of go hand in hand?
They can at times, yes. They definitely can, and there are many kids or people who would have both. In some cases, like for my son, he's a bit of emotional regulation problem, plus the CLD. Dyspraxia and dyslexia definitely can go hand in hand. So sometimes they can be misunderstood, or they need two different types of help, if you know what I mean, for the two different conditions. So yeah, definitely they can go hand in hand. Not sure if they get confused about one another, but they definitely can present together.
Yeah, I think it's very important to highlight this on the programme this morning, because there may be parents listening in thinking, "I might just have to get my child checked out for that." Or there may be adults listening in and thinking, "This all is starting to make sense now." If somebody feels as though they may have it, or they may have a child that has it, obviously the first port of call is to go to the GP.
Yeah, yeah. So you go to your GP and then they'll refer you on to your local speech and language therapist or get on to your primary care centre. And if you want to log on to raddld.org, RADLD.org, that's the kind of international website for the campaign we're running here in Ireland. There's loads of information on there and there's a little quiz on there, you know, that gives you an idea of like questions to ask yourself, and then you go, oh, actually, maybe I could have DLD. There's loads of previous stuff on there about previous campaigns. We're in the process of putting an Ireland page on there, so we will have that up there in the next week or so. So there'll be loads of links on there for some Irish services, and there's a Padlet going on there that's going to have loads of information about DLD. And it's fantastic, like, because when my son was six, at the time, the diagnosis was called SLI or SSLI, which is specific speech and language impairment. The term changed in 2017. When I Googled that back then, I found one page, and that was it. And it was like, okay, I've no idea what this means. And it really wasn't until 2020, when we got involved with DLD, that we fully understood what we were trying to say was presented to us, that we were right, but we just didn't know how to say it properly. Like I said, reading between the lines and all those little terms. So to have that information out there is our aim for people, and to change it in the education system as well, get DLD more recognised. That's not still quite the term they use everywhere, so we're just pushing for all that. We have subgroups within our group. We have a teacher group who are looking after that end of things. I was part of the media group this year, and, you know, trying to get the message out to families and as a mother to other parents out there. Don't shy away. Don't bury your head in the sand. If you think there's something up, go and get it checked, and it really is the best thing for you and your child going forward.
And there is so much support out there as well, as Brenda has mentioned. That website, once again, is raddld.org, which is RADLD.org, and it stands for Raise Awareness of Developmental Language Disorder. And Brenda Mockler is ambassador with Raddled, and also, of course, the mother of Robert, who is 14 years of age and has developmental language disorder. Order as well. Brenda, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning. A very good morning to you, and the best of luck to yourself and to Robert as well. And I just want to mention that the theme of this year's campaign is Growing with DLD, and Ballyboden GAA senior hurler Carl Reddy, who's 23, is the Irish spokesperson this year. He had developmental language disorder when he was 16 years of age, and he produced a powerful video to explain what life is like living with the condition, and that can be found on the website as well. So Raising Awareness of Developmental Language Disorder, raddld.org is the website.
Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, Irish Water has announced a new phase of works to upgrade Leixlip Water Treatment Plant. This includes essential upgrades to the treatment processes at the plant, including coagulation, clarification and filtration. These works will further improve the robustness of the water treatment facilities at both the old and new water treatment plants, and are scheduled for completion in quarter four 2024. All works will be carried out within the existing site with no impact to the public, we're told. Well, Stephen Seymour is on the line. He's Capital Programme Portfolio Delivery Manager with Irish Water. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
And as we know, the plant in Leixlip is the second largest water treatment plant in the whole country, supplying drinking water to over 620,000 customers across us here in Kildare, Dublin and Meath, which equates to approximately 33% of the greater Dublin area. So it's crucial that everything there runs smoothly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's actually two plants in Leixlip. There's an older one and a newer one. The work we're doing now is to the older one, but without these treatment plants, particularly North Dublin would suffer for shortages, so they really are essential to everything we do in Dublin.
Tell us what the works are going to entail then, Stephen.
The aim of the works is to restore the Leixlip plant to its design capacity, but also to put in an element of what we call redundancy, which would allow part of it to be switched off for essential maintenance without impacting on the overall supply. So the way the water works is we treat the water first, We then put it through what we call a clarification process, which is a settlement process. And we enhance that by putting in tube settlers into the tank, which increase the settlement rate. Then the water goes through filters, and after that it's disinfected and sent to the public. So a lot of what we're doing is around the pre-treatment and the clarification. We have some work on the filters, but we did a lot of work there under phase one of this programme of works.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. This is a new phase. The project has already been in operation since June 2018. 15 filters were upgraded and fully operational. And phase two now, as you say, is going to be carried out over the next while to be completed. Quarter four, 2024. It's going to cost our Irish Water are investing almost €20 million to upgrade and modernise this plant. The second phase, will that be kind of it then? Is that the last phase, or is there more then down the line?
No, we have a programme of work in there that will be polluting 70 and 100 million by the time we're finished. That includes phase one, phase two. We're at the design stage of phase three at the moment, in parallel to constructing phase two. And phase three will look at the newer treatment plant and upgrade the filters, the same processes there. We can't do the two together because of the need to supply water. And that's one of the critical things here, because when you're going into an existing plant, you need to keep the flow going. So there's only so much of the plant you can work on, and you have to stagger how you take out the filters and clarifiers. But there are further upgrades then in terms of the electrical works there and some of the pumping arrangements. So we will be in there for the next 5 to 7 years.
Okay, and if you want more information on the works, you can go onto the website www.water.ie, and the Irish Water customer care helpline, which is open 24/7, is 1800 278 278. Stephen, before I let you go, I mentioned there in the introduction that this is not going to affect the public, or it says that it will have no impact to the public. So does that mean while these works are ongoing in Leixlip, there won't be a shortage of supply or disruption, etc.?
It means two things. It means, yes, exactly what you've said. We have programmed the works over a longer period of time to ensure that we maintain supplies to everybody in the Dublin area, but also the works are fully contained within the site, so there'll be no impact on the local public during the construction stage.
Okay, good stuff. That is Stephen Seymour, Business Operations Manager, our Capital Programme Portfolio Delivery Manager as well, with Irish Water on those upgrades to take place in Leixlip. And thanks for joining us this morning, Stephen. And on the note of water, there is essential upgrade works to take place in Naas next week, and they're going to take place on Tuesday the 18th of October at 10 p.m. until Wednesday the 19th of October at 6 a.m. Irish Water notes the works, in partnership with Kildare County Council, will safeguard the water supply for homes and businesses in Naas. The works are part of the body's National Leakage Reduction Programme. It noted during these works, customers in Naas and the surrounding areas may experience intermittent interruptions to their water supply, to include low pressure or outages, and Irish Water note supply will be maintained to Naas General Hospital. Ciara.
Yes, we were speaking obviously north of the county there with Leixlip. We're heading a bit further south with Newbridge. Rotary Newbridge, with councillor for Fine Gael, that is Peggy O'Dwyer, are holding their third breast cancer awareness walk. It's happening this Sunday, the 16th of October. And president of Newbridge Rotary Club, Sharon O'Carroll, is joining us this morning. Hello, Sharon.
Good morning, Ciara. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Do let me know what's happening on Sunday.
So yes, it's our third 5K breast cancer awareness walk. We start at the main entrance to Linear Park by the Swan at 2 p.m. And we ask that everybody wear something pink, and we will be sung off by members of the Liffey Choir. And just, you mentioned Rotary, just if I may mention a little on Rotary. We're a group of men and women from all walks of life, and we support projects locally, nationally and internationally. We're volunteers and we're non-sectarian, non-political and not-for-profit. Rotary is over 100 years old and is the world's oldest charity. We have 1.2 million members in 35,000 clubs throughout the world. And our own club in Newbridge is over 30 years old. And just to mention as well that fun and friendship are key elements of being in Rotary, and we love to mention new members. As you said, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the aim is to increase awareness around breast cancer and early detection done through our national screening programme. So research indicates that approximately 3,700 new cases of breast cancer are diagnosed yearly in both men and women. In County Kildare, both male and female cancer incidence are higher than the national average. So funds raised in October go directly to the Irish Cancer Society, who provide support services, such as volunteer to drive, providing door-to-door transport for patients receiving chemotherapy, research and development, which through the years has been responsible for new treatments, and palliative care, night nursing service for end-of-life care. So when Peggy O'Dwyer retired from her position of oncology nursing, she was keen to do something to increase the importance of early detection and approach to Rotary. Along with youth, education, community and environment, health is one of our key focuses. And so we came up with the idea of this walk, which we hope to build on yearly.
Sharon, I ask you, if anybody listening wants to become a member of Rotary in Newbridge, how do they do so?
You can do it through our website or our Facebook page. And we love to welcome new members. So that would be amazing if anybody would like to reach out, and we will get back to you as soon as possible.
That website address, Sharon?
www.rotarynewbridge.org.
Perfect. And just to remind people that they're asked to please wear pink this Sunday. All donations are welcome to the Irish Cancer Society. As Sharon pointed out, they'll also be joined by the Liffey Choir. That's Rotary Newbridge. They're holding the third Breast Cancer Awareness Walk this Sunday, the 16th of October from 2 o'clock. And the walk will be approximately 5K. Did you want to add something there, Sharon?
Yeah, just to point out, sorry, Ciara, that there's donation options, so people can donate directly to the Irish Cancer Society online, or Rotary will hold a collection on the day. And so just to say, we'd really appreciate attendance, because we know that cancer has touched so many of us in one way or another.
Absolutely. That is Sharon O'Carroll, the president of Newbridge Rotary Club. Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah, the best of luck to all involved there. And if you are out and about on Sunday, do pop down to Liffey Linear Park and make sure that you wear the pink as well. Now, to let you know, there are upcoming roadworks at the junction of the R445 Dublin Road and the R414 Drogheda Street in Monastrevin, taking place tomorrow, Saturday, the 15th of October. We're told that the works are necessary advanced roadworks that consist of the installation of three road crossings at the junction. Any outstanding works may be required to be completed next Monday. Temporary traffic management will be provided during the duration of the works, and the works are overseen by the traffic management section at Kildare County Council. So that is tomorrow, Saturday the 15th of October, the junction there in Monastrevin between the Dublin Road and Drogheda Street, works taking place there. Naas Municipal District Labour Councillor Anne Breen is on the line. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Owen, and morning to your listeners.
Some of the issues then that you brought up at the recent meeting, and first of all, if we go to Kill and just outside the stables estate there, residents are concerned about a 30 or 40 feet drop at the boundary there. There's fencing causing concerns.
Yes, I went up to visit this estate, and I did see for myself they had a flimsy barrier up. The developer actually had a 40-foot drop on the other side. Now, residents in the area were very worried because there's a lot of children in that area, and one lady, actually, her dog was trapped down, and she received all the concerns about how, if her dog could get down there, a child could. So the council went out to have a look at the area, and they did say they needed to be put up a proper fencing. Now, I went back up again. I saw the fencing. However, the residents in the area still feel that there is a gap underneath the fencing that needs to be rectified. So they want to know what's going to happen to this area in underneath the fencing. And I've asked the council to go back up again, and they said that they will go up again and look at it and come back to me with the report.
All right, very important there in terms of safety, particularly if there are children there in that estate. And did you get an update on the request to clean up and better secure the vacant ground at Corbin's Lane, which is formerly Sarah Flood's public house? There's times that I drive past this, and I think it's an awful shame that it's just left lying there with the fencing around it at Sarah Flood's. What's the plan there?
Now, I have asked on two occasions for this to be hoard, this hoarding to be put up properly. And they have done nothing. So I'm getting the same answer every time I ask this question. So apparently they're going to contact the developer and a proper hoarding is going to be put up.
Okay, good stuff. And people who would know there, Sarah Floods is at the top of Main Street, just across from where Murta's Corner used to be on that road. And also then you wanted to know if the council had any plans to liaise with An Garda Síochána in respect of potential safety problems with the scale and location of bonfires during the Halloween period.
Now, I know bonfires are illegal, but we can't stop bonfires. But I think safety is the paramount. I think we should talk to parents and get parents responsible to look after their children in times of bonfires. Now, some bonfires have been lit in the past few weeks, and I think it's a safety issue now, and I think a guard should patrol areas that have bonfires. I don't agree with bonfires. I think they are quite dangerous, but they're going to happen.
Right, and what did Kildare County Council say with regards to their plans when it comes to Halloween? Did they have any plan?
I don't think they have any plans, but I feel it's the aftermath that they're very worried about, because it does cause a lot of problems clean up and to the tidy towns and to the council. And I think that should be addressed as well. If parents are going to go out and be with their children to look, you know, to watch them at the bonfires, and we know bonfires are illegal, but it's going to happen, I think they should be responsible to clean up afterwards.
Okay.
But I think a Garda presence should be there if they know that there's going to be, the bonfires going to be lit. And they have been lit recently.
Okay. Labour councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Anne Breen, with those motions and issues raised at the recent Naas Municipal District. Thanks for joining us on the programme. Now, just want to let you know, in the CSO's Residential Property Price Index, house prices on the border of Dublin, including County Kildare, increased by 15.3% in the year to August. The CSO's Property Price Index, which was published yesterday, shows the cost of buying a home in Dublin increased by 9.7% in the year to August. Houses on the border of Dublin, which of course includes us here in Kildare, increased by 15.3% in the same period. Nationally, the median price of a home bought in the 12 months to August of this year was €295,100. The lowest median price paid for a home was €149,000. That was in County Longford, and the highest was €615,000, and that house was bought in Dunleary Ratdown. Just got a message in to us on WhatsApp from Samantha Clintz. She says, 2 years ago, my beautiful son Jack entered this world at 23 weeks old, earlier than due. Jack stayed for 3 days, 1 hour and 15 minutes till he gained his angel wings on the 15th of October. And we're doing a charity event on the 15th of October to raise funds for Felicon, the charity. This charity provides memory boxes for parents of stillbirth and neonatal death. The support of this charity is outstanding. And of course, we spoke to Mary Cregan on the programme. She is the founder of Felicon. And Samantha says, could you please announce this Family Fun Day event that's taking place? And I can tell you that it is happening in Timahoe, in Powers of Timahoe, the pub there. All donations going to Felicon. It's happening tomorrow, October 15th, and that is Wave of Light Day 2022, and it gets underway at 3 o'clock. Gary O'Brien from the Druids is going to be playing music there. There'll also be a big raffle taking place, and as I say, all proceeds going to Felicon. So if you're in the area of Timahoe over the weekend tomorrow at 3 o'clock, pop in to Powers of Timahoe and support that fantastic fun day. Another message then that came in on the email: best of luck to South Kildare Shamrocks under 12 hurling team tomorrow morning. They have been invited down to Tipperary to play in a 4-team hurling blitz hosted by Moycarkey Boris. South Kildare Shamrocks is the amalgamation of Kilcullen, Athgarvan and Timahoe to keep hurling burning alive in this pocket of Kildare. At the moment, we're competing at under 14 and under 12 levels, and that comes in from Martin Sheridan. So the very best of luck to all involved there. And the Eadstown ladies, of course, they are playing on Sunday in the Leinster quarter final against Portlaoise down in Portlaoise. And earlier I spoke to the Eadstown manager, Kilcullen native Brian Willis.
It was great to win the 3 in a row. The game itself, I suppose, against Sarsfields as a spectacle wasn't fantastic, you know. Typical final, it was a tough game, it was a little bit defensive at times, but at the end of the day, I suppose, the girls had that little bit more experience, I suppose, of playing in Hockfield, and they knew what it was all about from before, from the previous 2 years, so we eventually got over the line on the night, you know.
Yeah, the team that you have been exceptional for the last number of years, with some experienced players obviously for club and for county, and with some great young players coming up as well. It doesn't really show any sign of slowing down at Eadstown.
No, look, the work rate there at underage is great, you know. There's some great people there behind the scenes. You have Jerry Kavanagh and Barbara Sargent there, and Ollie Myrna, Rachel Toohey and Amy O'Neill. There's some fantastic work going on behind the scenes, and the coaching is improving year on year, and that's what's helped bring these young girls through, you know. So everybody knows the household names. You have the Grace Cliffords and the Rose Myrners and the Siobhan O'Sullivans and the Grania Keneally's, but there's an awful lot of very good young talent coming through in that club. And like every club in Kildare, I suppose, you have to keep developing the underage, otherwise your senior team is going to fall down, you know.
Yeah, and when you do so well in the county and win those three county championships, the next step is to look at provincial success, and that starts this weekend now against Portlaoise. Not an easy game by any stretch of the imagination, but one I'm sure you're looking forward to on Sunday.
Ah, yes, look, sure. Last year, I think we were probably a little bit unfortunate in a way in that, because we drew Foxrock Cabinteely in the first round, and you could say probably the strongest team in Dublin. So the experience, I suppose, from that, I think, should benefit us this weekend. You know, that game in Eadstown with the crowd and the atmosphere and coming so close, I think we just lost out by 2 points on the day. I think the girls will learn from that mistake, and I think, all going well, we can bring that experience forward to this Sunday when we go down to play Portlaoise in Leash at 2 o'clock.
You had a couple of weeks then, obviously, since the county final to recuperate and plan for the game on Sunday. So how have the last 2 weeks been with the team?
Well, look, since the county final was over, we gave the girls, we offered the girls a little bit of a break, but unfortunately those ladies in Eadstown are a different breed entirely when it comes to rest. So they were actually getting on to us because they wanted to go back training sooner. And we said, right, we knew then at this stage that these ladies were serious about what they wanted to do in relation to Leinster. So I think we got back training about 3 or 4 days after the county final, which would be quite unusual. But since then, in fairness, the work, the intensity and the effort that the girls have put in have been absolutely fantastic. Their attitude, their attendance to training, their attention to detail in relation to what we want to do, in relation to our drills, in relation to our transition and play. You know, they've shown great, absolute enthusiasm for this game, and they are really, really up for this weekend.
You might just take us through the starting 15 for this weekend then, Brian, because you seem to have quite a full-strength squad and some great names here on the starting 15.
Yeah, well, look, from the county final, we just mentioned to the girls the other night, actually, that we were just making one change. We'd like to keep that consistency there and that a bit of experience within the team. So our starting 15 from Sunday is as follows. We have Siobhan Tierney in goals. Siobhan's playing in goals a long time for Eadstown. On the full back line, then, we have the two Myrners, two fantastic ladies. We have Anya, right corner back, and we have Rose Myrna, the captain, who's full back. Alongside Anya, then, at left corner back, we have our vice captain, who's Anya Nirali. The half back line, then, we have Mary Ann Ryan, who's right half back. And in centre half back is Ruth Sargent, a fantastic young talent coming through in Eadstown. That's Barbara's daughter. At left half back, then, we have another lady of wonderful experience. That's Grania Keneally. In midfield, then, we have our two fantastic reliables, Hazel McLaughlin and Grace Clifford. And in the half-forward line, we have then Jessica Harney, Siobhan O'Sullivan in centre forward, and in left half forward, another very young lady at 15 years of age, Abby Call, playing left half forward, another fantastic talent coming through the underage structure there in Easttown. In the full forward line, then we have Tara Bedford, who is right corner forward. In full forward, we have Angela McGuigan. And at left corner forward, we have Sarah Carroll. So that's our starting team. But apart from that one, then we have some fantastic talent on the bench then to come on to hopefully help us finish out the game when girls get tired, you know. So that's what we have for Sunday.
And of course, you'd be, just to finish on this then, Brian, you'd be hoping to get a big crowd down to Portlaoise at 2 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to be providing updates here on KFM for those who can't travel down. But if at all you can get out and support the girls, not only if you're from Easttown or Kilteel or Rathmore, but from the wider parts of the county as well.
Well, look, at the end of the day, Owen, we're representing Kildare as a whole here on Sunday. And it's important, I suppose, for football in Kildare that surrounding clubs and surrounding parishes and people can come down and support the senior champions within the county. That's hugely important. Like, the work and the promotion that's going on in schools over around Easttown with the kids and banners and flags have been fantastic, and I'm sure that will continue between now and this Sunday. But again, it would be great to see support from the other clubs around the county. I would like to think that if another senior team in the county was in the Leinster Championship, that Easttown people would travel to support them as well. And I think they will, all going well, the people from around the county will come and support and cheer on Easttown.